New Orleans sits at the mouth of the Mississippi, making the city quite diverse. See, the large population of slaves brought into the region kept African culture alive. Blacks would meet on Sundays at Congo Square, where they were allowed to play traditional music and worship in their own way. The result was jazz and voodoo in New Orleans culture. From Dickinson College Radio comes our very own American Life and History. Our show today in six different acts. Act 1, Roots.
Here we have Ray, a local jazz artist, and on Wednesdays he plays with his band Fat Cats on Bourbon Street.
African life and culture centered around the village, where everyone participated in the musical activities. There's clapping and stomping and the use of call and response, when a leader sings and the rest of the group hollers back. Coming directly from West Africa, this music moved to the West Indies, and ultimately New Orleans through the slave trade. While in the West Indies, the music consisted of two drums and a stringed instrument, this African music arriving in New Orleans from the West Indies became the foundation for modern day jazz.
William Banks is a graduate of Tulane University and has devoted his life to studying the roots and history of jazz music. Act 2, the African music.
Black musical activity in New Orleans dates back to the last decade of the 18th century. Set behind the French Quarter was a grassy plain where early on slaves gathered on Sundays for drum and dance convocations. This became Congo Square. From here came rhythm and blues and, of course, jazz. Band music and black culture appeared early in the 19th century in response to the city's need for a martial music. The European structure of the band was seamlessly woven into traditional African music. After the Civil War and emancipation, blacks created networks and organizations that provided the music for various activities like parades and dances in New Orleans. Due to the need for musicians, several band academies were created that were operated by itinerant professors, in many cases drawn from the ranks of New Orleans free blacks of antebellum musical vintage. The loose, improvised sound that is a major aspect of jazz was a product of ensembles who played when members were missing. So what is African jazz? It is African call and response, but with instruments. It is drumming and complex rhythms and the coming together of different people to perform and create music. It was the creation of a culture oppressed by slavery, but is now cherished by our society.
Modernization. See, Robbie is an aspiring musician who plays for the second line band. So I asked him, what is jazz really like today?
New Orleans style is made when one instrument plays the melody and the other instruments improvise around that melody. New Orleans traditional is our form of jazz. There was a revival of this form in 1942 that came about with the founding of Preservation Hall. During this time, solos were more prevalent. Louis Armstrong is the best example of an improvising soloist. In the 30s, swing first appeared during the Great Depression to create an optimistic feeling and lift spirits. By the 40s, there was bebop, which consists of fast tempos, intricate melodies, and complex harmonies. Jazz today is seen everywhere in New Orleans. The oldies are always played because that is the kind of music that thrives. If you're a musician and from around here and you don't come for the jazz, then that's plain silly.
Music is certainly a way of life, but so is religion. We now move to the second portion of our program, Voodoo in New Orleans. Act 4, Voodoo Appears. See, Glenn here works as the curator at the New Orleans Museum of Art.
Voodoo actually means God or Great Spirit. Its main purpose is to heal. Practitioners believe their ancestors become spirits, or lowals, once they die. They look to these lowals for guidance. Voodoo in New Orleans is not all that different from how it was first practiced in Africa. There's one god called the Grand Met, and several lesser spirits called Loaos. The Loaos rule over worldly affairs like happiness and love. People would sacrifice to the Loaos and have them speak to the Grand Met in their favor. There were two main waves of people that brought voodoo to New Orleans. The first was from the West African regions of Dahomey, Nigeria, Congo, and the Bight of Benin. When the first slaves came in the 1730s, voodoo appeared in Congo Square. There, slaves would meet every Sunday due to the leniency provided by the Code Noir, a law allowing blacks to meet each Sunday without white interference. The second wave started in 1790 and consisted primarily of slaves, free blacks, and some immigrating whites from Haiti unsettled by the Revolution. This added different aspects to the pre-existing voodoo, because these immigrants focused on the snake Loaos, Donbala Widu, who is the father of the Loaos.
Act 5, the Catholic influence. See, to explain the Catholic influence on voodoo, we had to ask Father Paul Sinclair, a local priest.
Voodoo brought the belief in spirits and the spirit world. These spirits were referred to by their African names, but once French Creole replaced the native African languages, Catholic saints were adopted instead. Eventually, the Hail Mary and the Lord's Prayer, even baptism and the cross, were incorporated into voodoo rituals. You see, the practice of voodoo developed as a complex mixture of the few bits of African culture which survived the black man's harrowing immigration, and the trappings of French folklore and Roman Catholic worship. Followers would seek counsel from voodoo doctors instead of professionals for their health problems because their money was scarce, and these self-appointed experts were much cheaper. These doctors were also seen if the patient needed help solving problems involving love, revenge, money, or even the law. Although many considered their practice of voodoo serious, I personally don't believe that incorporating our saints into such superstition makes it legitimate.
Well, what John forgot to mention was that in 1945, the World Order of Congregational Churches designated voodoo as a bona fide religion. It's still a very much black communal religion today. Whether it's voodoo you're practicing or jazz you're playing, it's clear that the New Orleans African roots go deep.
It seems like most authentic voodoo that you see today is for ritual rather than worship. Most ceremonies are more like performances in public for entertainment. But I think the people that actually practice voodoo are scared to admit it. I met a minister who had black saints and a plastic cobra held right up next to a statue of Jesus. He claimed it was a piggy bank for offerings to the saints, but it sure looked like a voodoo idol to me. There are readers and healers who promise to reverse your luck and restore health by prescribing roots, oils, and powders. It's linked to voodoo, but it's not anything like the real African voodoo. Superstition or not, it hasn't made the police more comfortable with voodoo. Blimey!